All righty. Hello, loves. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Do you ever get the feeling that the world was a lot better 5, 10, 20 years ago than it is now? Because I got to tell you something. I am not exactly a technical guy. It's not my bag, okay? And every damn day I am met, and maybe you are too, with challenges that just don't have to exist, like a million passwords for a million different things. You go to an airport, you want to buy an orange juice. Oh, wait a minute, self-checkout. You have to self-scan. Then you have to figure out the credit card and how that particular system works. And then you get to work, you try to log in, you're off for a week, and you can't log into the computer. It's just, what in... Life was so much easier before computers. I think computers are the work of the devil. I really believe that. Computers are causing high blood pressure. They're causing a decrease in human interaction, and it's just not acceptable anymore. I've hit the point where the frustration that I feel on a daily basis trying to keep up with modern technology is just, it's driving me absolutely batty. And it's frustrating beyond all words. And I can't imagine those of you who are 70 or 80 years old. I mean, probably some of you are a lot better at that than I am. But it has gotten to the point where, for example, okay, Newark Airport, all right? First of all, if you can ever avoid going to Newark Airport, avoid going to Newark Airport, because it absolutely sucks as far as the layout. It sucks as far as the signage, and it is absolutely impossible to navigate. Asking three or four different people, okay, so how do we get back through into security? And you get three or four answers. And I finally was lucky enough to find a Port Authority police officer. And I said, look, we keep getting different answers from different people. And we got to get, you know, through security at some point. And finally, the funniest thing is, we finally get through security at the first place where we were told we weren't supposed to be going back through security. And, you know, this whole nonsense about taking your shoes off at airports, I mean, it has gotten, I mean, seriously, life was better 20, 25 years ago before. We live in a world of meaningless BS. For example, a 60-year-old woman, is she going to blow up a plane with her shoes? I don't think so. And you see all these people who are mobility challenged, who are trying to travel, and you see them struggling with everything. You know, the older you get, the less mobile and dexterous your fingers and your motor skills become. I'm convinced of that. Of course, mine have never quite been that good, to be honest with you. But the world was better years ago. Yeah. This is another one. Going to the bar at the Newark Airport. Now, why couldn't the guy behind the bar just come up and say, yes, sir, what can I get you to drink? All I want is a Pellegrino water. That's all I want. I'm dying of thirst. I need fluid. I desperately need fluid. But, oh, no. The fact that the guy is 5 feet away means absolutely nothing. Because the system in Newark is, you've got to take your cell phone out and you've got to scan the code at the bar, and then you've got to select exactly what you want, and then it is brought over to you. Oh, wait, but only after you enter your credit card information into a God knows whether it's secure or not system in order to place your water, place your order for an $8 or $9 bottle of water. What happened to us as human beings, where everything has become dehumanized, everything has become depersonalized, and the world of passwords has become absolutely impossible to navigate? It is driving me absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. And if anything makes me retire early, it's going to be all the BS in the world. But even if I do that, I still have to deal with the BS in the world. I just won't have to deal with the BS at work. with password this, password that, training for this, two-hour HR training. Really? It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, you get away for a week and you're relaxed and you can't wait to get back to what you like to do. But only after you have to spend a half hour trying to find back to security at Newark Airport, which was not a lot of fun. And the other thing, too, and again, those of you who are mobility challenged to an amazing degree, I don't know how you do it, because no matter what flight you are on, no matter what airport you go to, I will guarantee that the gate at which you get off the plane is going to be at least 18 miles from where you have to go next. And it's easy for somebody in their 20s or 30s or 40s in great physical condition, no problem at all. But my goodness, those of you in your 60s, 70s, 50s even, 40s even, it's a bit of a hike. And it's not just the bad layout and the ridiculous distances you have to travel, all right? It is all of the nonsense. In the old days, and some of you don't even remember this, but you wanted to fly somewhere. You literally could arrive at the gate 3 minutes before the door shut, and you'd be fine. You just hop on the plane, in you go, and everything is okay. How many attacks, how many bombings, how many shootings, how many stabbings, how many clubbing to death with a chicken leg has TSA prevented, an organization which ought to be dismantled, by the way. How many attacks has that? None. Absolutely none. There's no evidence that they prevented a single thing from happening in the skies. And if you really wanted to do damage, why would you do an airplane? Why wouldn't you do something a little bit easier than an airplane? Because there are so many easier targets that would take out a lot more people than an airplane. Between all of the nonsense of traveling and flying, and all of the nonsense of scan the code with your phone, I always think to myself, you know, not everybody in this world has a cell phone. There are still people out there who don't have cell phones. How do you do it? How do you do it? In the olden days, and by olden days, I'm talking about 20, 25, maybe even fewer years ago, you walked up to the counter. You put your bag on the scale. They would weigh it. They'd put a tag on it and say, have a very nice day. Oh, no, but it can't be like that anymore. No. Everything in the name of progress, in the name of advancing things, in the name of I don't know what you want to call it, in the name of technological advancement, we have created for ourselves a dehumanized, increasingly stupidly and frustratingly complex environment, which only leads to frustration. And if I sound frustrated right now, I am frustrated right now. I mean, I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have, it shouldn't be an ordeal for the last 40 minutes trying to log in to a computer. Why? Why? What have we become? We've become slaves. Oh, I shouldn't have used that word. That'll get me into trouble. We have become pawns to machines. And here's what really bothers me, is it is going to become worse and worse over time. You know how I know that? Because it's worse now than it was 5 years ago. And it was worse 5 years ago than it was 5 years before that. And I don't think that I am the only person who feels that way. Now, some of you have never known a world that is not all computers, all scan this code, scan that code. Good grief. We are becoming a nation, a world, an environment of no human interaction, or as little human interaction as possible. And I still, for the life of me, I think the most frustrating thing, forget about passwords and all that stuff, the most frustrating thing that I experienced over the past, well, believe me, I had a very interesting past week. I wish I could tell you everything, but it would take pretty much the entire show, which I guarantee you would be highly entertaining if I did it. But maybe I should do that. But the most frustrating thing of all, was the Newark Airport. I'm telling my travel person, do not ever book me through Newark again. I never want to see the Newark Airport again, ever, if it involves going through customs, unloading the luggage, putting it back on to the airline, then going through security again. And then, of course, the gate, as I mentioned, has to be at least a mile from where you are. And then, because you've just done a mile and you're huffing and puffing and sweating and everything else, you're thirsty. See, that's all part of the racket. That's all part of the game. Johnny Sack and Tony Soprano were getting a rake off. I'm convinced of this. Oh, they're not real people? Never mind. But the situation... the most frustrating situation was sitting down at the bar. All I wanted was a bottle of water, and I had to scan a code and enter a credit card number. And again, I have no idea how secure the system is in order to get a bottle of water when the dude who eventually hands me the bottle of water is standing right there. All he had to do was say, sir, may I help you? Well, yes, sir. I would like a bottle of water, please. Okay, Pellegrino or Poland Springs. Pellegrino, please. It could have been so easy. But no, what should have been a 30-second transaction has now become a five-minute ordeal. Well, do you want to pay with Google? Do you want to pay with PayPal? What exactly do you want to do? So, and you know, what is your password here? It's like, are you out of your mind? And I'm sorry, I cannot be the only person who is growing increasingly frustrated and just, you know, angry. I don't like to be angry. I really don't. But I find myself becoming very, very angry at a world in which technology now controls us and common sense has been done away with. Common sense is you walk up to a bar and you say, I would like a bottle of water. Here you are, sir. That will be, well, at an airport, that'll be $88 for your bottle of water. Okay, here's your $88. Keep the change. I'll give you $90. But no. Now you got to scan everything in. And as I've said, go through all these steps just to end up with a stupid bottle of water. And it is beyond belief. It is beyond description. And then, again, the other thing is the password prison that we've built for ourselves. Because, unfortunately, see, the more high-tech we become, the more vulnerable we became and become to theft. The old days, you wanted to rip somebody off, you'd go into a bank with a submachine gun and rip off the bank. If that was an easy job. Now, all you have to do is enter a few keys if you know what you're doing, and you can pretty well successfully steal as much money as you want to by virtue of technology. And it's just, I shake my head, and I realize that I'm probably a dinosaur. Tanner Saunders, before I get into the topic today, you're a 20-something, so you do not remember a world before all this nonsense. And I wish I could use the other word for nonsense that we would use if we were talking just you and me. But do you ever, Tanner, at your young age in your early 20s, become frustrated about everything that you have to do just for the most basic of tasks?
Yeah, I would say so. Like with a lot of the things, the two-step verification, I mean, I understand why they do it, but it's like, how many hoops do I have to jump through just to access, you know, my email account?
Right. But how about, like, do you travel a lot? Bella Via travels a lot. I don't. And I love to travel, but I hate traveling, if you understand what I'm saying. I love to go places, but I hate getting there, and I hate coming back.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. I don't travel a ton, but I don't have particularly fond memories of the times I have traveled, like trying to get through the airport. Like you mentioned, TSA is a royal pain in the rear end. So I don't travel a lot, but I don't particularly enjoy the hoops you have to go through in that regard either.
I mean, can we just abolish TSA? Can we just abolish the airport security? Because in the old days, it used to be this. Somebody hijacks a plane. And everybody was told, and unfortunately, this is one of the reasons 9/11 happened the way it played out back in 2001. But the old days, everybody was told, okay, let the hijacker do whatever the hijacker wants. Oh, we're going to take a trip to Havana. That's nice. Okay, we're going to Havana. The hijacker is going to be arrested, put in a Cuban prison for 20 years, and then you go on with your flight and go wherever. These days, anybody who gets out of line on an airplane because of what happened on September 11, 2001 is going to get the hell kicked out of them. I mean, anybody who tries to do that is going to be destroyed. They are going to be demolished. It's already happened. I mean, we've already seen this how many times on various flights where people have done stupid things. They behaved in a stupid fashion, probably because they were frustrated because they couldn't get a bottle of water without scanning a code into their cell phone. And the other people on the plane will manhandle the would-be person. And by the way, I think you should be exempt from any criminal prosecution, any civil action. If somebody starts getting out of line on a plane and represents a clear and present danger to the passenger on that plane, I don't care if you put them in a chokehold and kill them. I don't care what race they are. You get a pass because they were out of line. I don't care what history they have. I don't care what problems they've had in their lives. You get on a plane, you start acting like a bozo, and you basically should realize anybody does anything to me, nothing's going to happen to them. That's the way I think the world ought to be. And do away with TSA and all this nonsense, because it has gotten out of hand. Because I'm trying to think here. I don't know that I've flown. I'd have to think about this. But I don't know that I've flown commercially since the pandemic started. And the world of airports and just buying things at airports has changed dramatically. I mean, not at every airport. I mean, at some airports, it's very easy to simply go to a bar and get a drink and pay cash and have a transaction with a human being. But, oh, no, in the United States, the most advanced country in the world, this country, my goodness, getting a bottle of water or a bottle of orange juice has become a five-minute ordeal. Good grief. Bottom line here, we're going to have some happy stuff to talk about. But the bottom line here is we are creating a world in which we are prisoners of technology and passwords and nonsense. And I don't like it. I don't like where it's going, except I know it's only going to get worse with AI. It's only going to get worse. And it's just, honestly, I really, like people my mother's age, I don't know how she even exists because I have a hard enough time keeping up. As I said, technology just isn't my thing, okay? It's not my bag, baby. But anyway, thank you for allowing me to bitch. I hope that you enjoyed that. But more importantly, I hope that some heads were nodding saying, yeah, yeah. But then again, on the other hand, some of the people are probably saying, what are you bitching about? This is so much better. Yeah, it's so much better to have to scan a code and order instead of just looking somebody in the eye and saying, I mean, if there was a restaurant and every time I went into the restaurant, I had to scan a code instead of just asking the bartender or the server for a hamburger, I wouldn't go to that restaurant anymore. But they kind of got you by the nads when you're on the road and traveling and you're tired and you've been dealing with all kinds of nonsense all day long. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, hi. It's 27 minutes after 2 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But there are some good people in the world, and there are supposedly some good people in Western New York, and we'll talk about that situation coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. We saw evidence of it last week with the overturned school bus, which was a nightmare situation. I mean, compared to having to scan a QR code, whatever it's called. 803-0930. I'll get to the specific question coming up here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, sit back and relax. You don't have to scan anything. You don't have to enter a password to listen to the show yet, but I'm starting to wonder on News Radio 930 WBEN. Roboto. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll tell you what, I wasn't going to do this as a topic, but let's put it this way. You know, one thing I can handle, two things I can handle, three things I can handle, but after a while, I think, like any other normal human being, like any other normal human being, I hit the wall where I just start getting very upset. Okay, one thing fine, two things fine, three things fine. After that, give me a little bit of aggravation, and I become very, very frustrated with the stupidity of it all. And I'm just going to ask you the question now to see if anybody wants to talk about it with me. Is technology our friend or is it our foe? And here we had, the story that Tom Puckett just told you about is a perfect example of why TSA, we don't need TSA. There was a guy in the cockpit, an off-duty pilot from I don't know what airline, in the cockpit. And he tried to take over the plane. And I don't know exactly what happened to him, but he didn't end up taking over the plane, and he was eventually subdued. I think the lesson there is, unless you're actually part of the working flight crew, maybe you shouldn't be allowed in a cockpit. Does that not make sense? But no. Instead, the rest of us now will probably have to drop trowel and be anally probed because of what this guy tried to do in the cockpit. So when it comes to technology, I want to know, is it our friend? Is it our foe? You should not have to scan a stupid code into a cell phone in order to get a bottle of water and pay for it electronically when you've got perfectly green legal tender in your wallet at the bar. Let's go to Eugene. Let me give the phone number first, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Eugene, you are on. Hello.
Hello, Tom. I first want to say it's great to finally get a chance to talk to you. I've been a big fan of yours since you used to talk to John Otto. I go back to John Otto. Those conversations were fantastic. I still remember them.
And that's funny because I don't think I ever talked to John. We did talk, actually. He did movie reviews on the morning show.
Yeah, you talked to him. I thought you did. I mean,
well,
that's how I remember it.
I mean, off the air I did, but see, when you say John Otto, I go back to the days of Chuck Lakefield and Shane Brothers Shane, and I forgot
right.
that.
John, your operator on.
Yes, the Midnight Mayor of Buffalo. But give me your take on technology, because I think technology is...
Well, first of all, my take on flying, that is airports, I stopped flying probably about, 10, 15 years ago. I simply couldn't handle the hassles. Waiting in line, expensive drinks, that sort of thing. When I was a kid, when I was young, they were indeed the friendly skies. It was a pleasure to fly. And then more and more, as time went on, it became more and more of a pain in the neck. And so I just stopped. And if there's not a destination within 3 or 4 hours of driving time, I simply will not go there. I mean, I'm happiest as a traveler. I'm happiest in the Adirondacks. That's where I want to go. And you can get to the outer perimeter of the Adirondacks in 3 or 4 hours. So it's fantastic.
You can have the Adirondacks all to yourself. Sorry.
You don't like them anymore?
No, I can't stand the Adirondacks.
You never liked them?
Bored? No, no, I do not.
Okay.
Never did, never will.
Well,
my idea of roughing it is the
I still love them. And anyway, now getting on to cybernetic technology, I do my best not to participate in it. I don't have a smartphone. I don't have a computer at home. I don't have internet access. And yes, indeed, it's becoming harder and harder to exist in this society without those contrivances. For example, the phone book. They don't do anything important or in phone books anymore.
Wait, what's a phone book?
I want to look up cab companies in the phone books. and the Yellow Pages. There's like one cab company listed in the phone book. Everybody expects you, as you would assume, everybody expects you to get your information on your phone. And so I got to call up my sister. And I say, Marianne, can you give me some phone numbers for for cab companies? So the phone books are useless. The last thing I'll say, I would say two more things. The place where I have to get my blood tested. I won't name the company which does my blood testing. It right. used to not bother me at all to go have my blood tested. I'd walk in, I'd say hello to the receptionist, I'm here, this is my name, I'd sit down, I'd take out a book, my name would be called, I'd go in, I was happy, okay, and right. it was fine. Amen. Nowadays, I gotta go, and in order to check in, I gotta navigate this computer pad that I can't really use because of a medical condition that I have.
Right.
So I gotta wait for somebody else to punch me in. And what was once basically a fine experience turns into this really horrible waste of time. And I could go on and on and on.
No, dude, I think a lot of people know exactly the laboratory of which you speak. And frankly, that's one of the reasons I stopped going to that major laboratory.
What I'm talking about.
Of course
right.
I do. Of course I do. Okay. I go to a place. I go to a place now at the corner of my street. It is old school. I literally, you know what I do? I stop at the office. I make an appointment with a human being in person, or I call them on the phone and I talk to a human being to set up the appointment. I walk in. I sign into a book. They call me in, and then they poke me.
It's not a bad experience. Sit there. You sit there in the waiting room. You have a book. You read. You're fine. They call you. They take your blood. You're out of there. The phlebotomists are typically very nice people. But anyway, the last thing I'll say, Tom, is AI. As you know, I know you're very on top of developments. AI has been here for a long time. AI has been displacing workers left and right in the world, in America. And there was a piece in the New York Times last week about AI not very much into the distant future, AI will be displacing white-collar people, white-collar jobs. So,
Well, but it goes beyond that. First of all, I hear you on what you're saying about the whole blood draw thing. I am kind of curious. And by the way, if we're talking about technology, friend or foe, because I want to tell you something. Technology and the depersonalization and the dehumanization of the world is absolutely driving me up a wall. And the best example that I can give, if you're just joining us, is Newark Airport. I desperately needed water to drink.
I was
going to say something to drink, but I couldn't just ask the guy, hey, could you bring me a Pellegrino and I'll give you $10 for the bottle of Pellegrino. Oh no, we've got to make it a 5-minute smartphone ordeal. How do you function without a smartphone?
Well, more and more in kind of those things. I mean, the city makes available bicycles, the little bicycle pods.
But my question to you is not about bicycles. My question,
time out.
How do you function without a smartphone? How do you do it?
Well, increasingly it's difficult, and I see the day very soon when they will tell me, listen, Beltrami, they'll say, listen, Eugene, you will have to have internet access in order to use our bank. And in a more like science fiction setting, I can envision the government becoming more and more a matter of online entity, and it can just sort of disappear conveniently. And maybe that's already happening. I think the great science fiction writers of the 40s and 50s have already thought through these issues. When physical presence is important, We live in the brick and mortar world. We're embodied beings. We have bodies. We are not virtual beings. We're bodies.
Well done.
And cybernetic technology encourages us to forget about that. And you know, I can trace a lot. I was a teacher in my life. My career was I was an adjunct philosophy professor in Buffalo, and I'm familiar with a lot of these issues, and they crisscross. The technology issues that you bring up crisscross with surveillance issues, crisscross with cybernetic communication issues, and I love what you do on the radio, Tom. The way you talk about Mark Lane. Every time I pick up Plausible Denial, which I did last night, I thought about you. So, you do a great job.
Well, you're very kind, sir. Even if you do like the Adirondacks, I must tell you, I've never had a good time in the Adirondacks. I will never go back to the Adirondacks. And again, my version of roughing it is a room at the Hilton where you have to wait like 5 minutes to get some hot water. That's my version of roughing it. But thank you. I appreciate it. And hang in there, Eugene. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Technology. I just want to spend a few minutes talking about this. Technology, friend or foe? And do you wrestle with technology? Is technology making us better as a species? Is it making the world a better place? And I'm sorry, in the last few years, it has gotten out of hand. You should not need a smartphone in order to get a bottle of water at an airport. That's absolutely asinine. You shouldn't need one. And by the way, too, you remember when we were told when the advent of computer technology was upon us, okay? We were told that it's going to be a paperless world. Have you ever gotten as much paper as you have now? And I have a simple rule. If you're running for office and you fill my mailbox with paper or you slide it into my front door, worst of all, you don't get my vote. I'll vote for the communist before I vote for a Republican. No, don't do it. Just don't do it. I am sick and tired of, by the way, the post office. Now, I happen to be a big fan of letter carriers, and letter carriers are still the embodiment of personal service, especially if you've got a great letter carrier, as I do. Anything I need, my letter carrier takes care of it. You know why? Because we have a relationship. It's a personal relationship. I know him, he knows me, and it's all good. And he goes out of his way. And I know that if my mail were to build up for any length of time, he'd probably call the police to do a welfare check. just saying. But have you ever gotten as much paper as you do in 2023? And I don't think I'm alone when I say, no, I have not. And one of the biggest aggravations that I have many aggravations, okay? Many aggravations, some of which I've mentioned before. You make a transaction, okay? A stupid transaction. You stay at a hotel, you use a car service. What happens next? What happens next? You get a survey. How did we do? You take your car in for an oil change or a tire rotation, it's got to be followed by a survey. How did we do? Well, you know what? You changed my oil. I think we can leave a survey out of this particular transaction. Mitch Hedberg, God bless him, God rest his drug-addled soul, but Mitch Hedberg used to do a bit about, I bought a donut and I got a receipt. I think we can leave ink and paper out of this transaction. And he was ahead of his time. But we are becoming a depersonalized, nation of automatons and people, and a world of automatons and people who do not know how to communicate. They do not know how to have basic human interactions because all day long, all they're messing around with is computers and machines and smartphones, and they can't have a conversation. They don't know how to meet people. They don't know how to have relationships with people because all it is electronics and scan this and scan that, and it's gotten out of hand. Do we really need to get into voicemail? Do we really need to get into that technology? And I've made this point before, but no matter where you call, in what city, what business, what sector of the economy of which you are speaking, okay, what does every voicemail now say? Listen carefully. Our menu options have recently changed. I've been calling the same place now for years, and you know what? The menu options have not recently changed. They haven't changed in at least 5 years, okay? But yet, we're told to listen carefully. And don't even get me started on this nonsense of press 1 for Spanish. And I had this experience at one of the airports. I think it was Newark, as a matter of fact, where coming back from overseas over the weekend, I'm greeted in the United States of America. I'm greeted by English, and then I'm greeted in Spanish. Like, excuse me, by being a bilingual person or a trilingual person or a quadrilingual person is a great attribute. I think you should learn as many languages as you possibly can. But a nation that has too many languages cannot be a nation. You need a lingua franca. You need a common language. You need a common form of communication. And tell me something. How come Spanish gets priority? How about Arabic? I've seen more and more people of Arabic descent walking around Western New York than I've ever seen before. So when do we go from English and Spanish to English, Spanish, and Arabic? And how about the people from Burma? A lot of Burmese people around here. They work very hard. They're very good people, and not that the other people aren't. I'm just saying that I've never met a Burmese person I didn't like, but why not Burmese as well? I mean, the day is going to come. Mark my words, and if you've been listening to me for a number of years, you know I've been so spot on so many things years ahead of time. For example, stealth personnel technology. When I talked to people 10 years ago about invisibility suits and the concept of people actually being able to put on gear for intelligence and military purposes that rendered them invisible to the human eye, you guys thought I was nuts. The newspaper thought I was nuts. Hell, you Google my name. What am I? I'm erratic, and yet stealth personnel technology is a fact of life. And look it up yourself. Don't go thinking I'm talking about aliens, because I'm not. I'm talking about human beings that have developed technologies that render them invisible for military and intelligence purposes. Look it up online yourself. Stealth personnel technology. And it's just... The point is, I was talking about it years ago because of personal experiences that I'd had. But this stuff, you know, for example, I'm thinking here out loud. I wouldn't plan on doing this as any kind of a topic today. It just kind of morphed into that because I got very pissed off before the program because of some password issues. I, you know, take off for a week and can't seem to log into what I'm into. But the situation was originally forecast by a UB Communication Department chairman by the name of Gerald Goldhaber. And back in the 1980s, he was talking about exactly what we're talking about today. So he was ahead of his time, and I basically ripped off Dr. Goldhaber. The situation is that we are overloaded and we are overwhelmed with information. And I think more importantly than that, we're overwhelmed with BS. And so much of this technological so-called advancement is nothing but baloney. It's nothing but BS. So, for example, having to use, I mean, just think about how stupid this is. Having to scan in a code and then pay on your smartphone for a bottle of Pellegrino water when the guy who's going to hand it to you eventually is standing right in front of you. It just, it's nonsense. It has created a world of too much BS, and I don't like BS, okay? I'm a straight shooting kind of a guy. I don't like BS, and again, huge concern of mine is the disembodiment. I like the Eugene used that word, the disembodiment of human beings in favor of technology, and it's no good can come of this. No, it doesn't speed things up. You want to tell me it took 5 minutes, a transaction that should have taken 20 seconds just a few years ago, took me 5 minutes at the Newark airport to get my bottle of Pellegrino water. How is that? Tell me something. How is that advancing anything? How is that progress? You go from 20 seconds to do a deal for water to 5 minutes to do a deal for water. I cannot be the only person who is growing a little bit weary of this kind of a culture. Scan this code. Forget about human interaction. Oh, I can't help you. You need to scan your code first. What? Remember when you were doing COVID tests? You had to scan a code to get in some places? If y'all want to talk about this, that's fine by me. I've got some happy things to talk about. But if you've got some thoughts on this, I'm a little bit fired up about it right now because my passwords don't seem to be working. And then to make everything complete, and I hope you guys can relate to this because if you can't relate to it, I'm just talking about myself, and that's kind of boring. I received an email right before I went on the air, an email, and I can't open up the email. They sent it to me in a format that my computer, for whatever reason, is not going to open. So now I'm going to have to call my IT girl and have her come over, and I call her girl because she's in her 20s. She's a classical pianist, and I love her very much. Her name is Liz, but I got to call Liz and say, Liz, I need you to come over because I have to get you to open this file for me. Fortunately, it's nothing terribly sensitive or delicate. Anyway, 803-0930, be the phone number, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I do have some happy things to talk about today, maybe some happy things. Obviously, Josh Allen's performance and the Buffalo Bills' performance will not be one of those things. And, one of the things that bothers me, people who don't learn from their past mistakes, why did they not eat up more of the clock before the Bills' final touchdown of the game? I mean, why was there so much time left on the clock and they're running plays? They could have burned off clock to put extra pressure on New England, and they didn't do it. When you make a mistake and you don't learn from a mistake, i.e. Kansas City, 13 seconds, there's a problem fundamentally with your organization. They're not going to win a Super Bowl, not this year. In fact, I don't even know if they're going to get to the playoffs. Oops. Sorry, my clock just misfired. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.